Hey everybody, what is going on? It is Crypto Bobby. Hope you are having a great day, great night, wherever you are watching or listening in from. And today, let's talk about the $15,000 call that our buddy Tom Lee is still sticking to, and whether or not that is as outrageous as it sounds right now, or is that something that there is some modicum of a possibility that that might actually happen. Also want to talk about Overstock.com essentially betting the farm, going full-time crypto, whether or not that is big, whether or not that means much of anything. We'll talk about that and also talk a little bit about Bitcoin and MasterCard. There was a good piece that came out from TrustNode as far as Bitcoin's relative competitiveness in terms of transaction volume with something like MasterCard, which is a $170+ billion company, credit card processor, things of that nature. So we'll talk about that and more today. Before we get into today's episode, quick shout out to our supporter Mint Mobile. You guys know there is nothing better about the holiday season, aside from maybe Bitcoin at $20,000, than unwrapping a brand new phone until you get hit with that brand new monthly bill. Big wireless providers really suck the joy out of the holidays, and let's be honest, you'd rather keep that money into crypto. So this year, don't just upgrade your phone, upgrade your wireless provider and switch to Mint Mobile. For a limited time, Mint Mobile is offering the best holiday deal in wireless you've ever seen. 3 months of service for only $20. Yep, that is right. 3 months for $20, and this is a limited time only offer here. Take advantage of the Mint Mobile holiday deal before it's gone. Get 3 months of wireless for $20 and get the plan shipped to your door for free by going to mintmobile.com/Bobby. That is mintmobile.com/BOBBY for 3 months of service for just $20 at mintmobile.com/BOBBY. All right, let's get into the episode. A quick apology on my end. I'm actually for Thanksgiving in the U.S., so, and also a late happy, a belated happy Thanksgiving to anybody in the U.S. or abroad who's celebrating. But because of that, I am not at my home setup right now, so I don't have my webcam. I have actually my decent microphone, but I have crappy recording software, and I'm recording on a laptop instead of my desktop. So hopefully this comes out all right, but apologies in advance. I know a lot of you like seeing my ugly face sometimes, so you're not going to get that today, but show goes on. So Tom Lee was on CNBC and was actually a pretty decent conversation. It was a 7-minute video. We'll link to that below in the YouTube description, and there should be a card to click on that in the beginning of the YouTube video if you want to go check that out. But Tom Lee was on CNBC, and Tom Lee has been bullish about Bitcoin for quite some time. Works at Fundstrat, typically puts out some really good research. Whether or not his price calls are always on target, sometimes they certainly haven't been. They've been fairly aggressive in the past. Tom Lee's big price target for Bitcoin was $25,000 in 2018, which at the beginning of the year sounded pretty reasonable, and something that I tended to think was very much a possibility, and kind of lean towards that thought process. However, now obviously the market has completely turned. Things were pretty far out of control, and the price really far exceeded the fundamentals of where we were. And we have Tom Lee now saying, hey, you know, where we are, I still am sticking to $15,000 by the end of 2018. Is that actually a possibility? I mean, looking at where we are right now, as of recording this, $4,345 or so. Are we going to see a 3 to a 4X in the next couple of weeks? And in my opinion, no, absolutely not. There's really no chance of that happening. As much as I'd love to see it, as much as I'd love for us to see $15,000 Bitcoin in the year of 2018 again. Well, actually, we've never seen it in the year of 2018. That was 2017. But as much as I'd love for us to see $15,000 Bitcoin in 2018, I just don't think there is any level of positive catalyst that will get us there. Even when we were above $6,000 before we fell through support, there's two big things that I think, kind of three big things that I think you want to consider. Number one, long-term future. I'm still very bullish on Bitcoin. I'm still very bullish on the Bitcoin price. Still very bullish on adoption. I think the industry is slowly but surely moving forward at an aggressive pace. But when you consider two of the groups that are kind of supposed to be the ones adopting cryptocurrency from an investment standpoint. You have retail investors, and then you have institutional investors. Retail investors adopted cryptocurrency investing, specifically Bitcoin and many other altcoins, things of that nature, adopted that en masse in 2017 to 2018. However, the vast majority of people that adopted cryptocurrency investing did it towards the latter end of the previous cryptocurrency bubble. And many of those individuals, unfortunately, were pretty much wrecked with huge, 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 huge losses across the board. I mean, if you bought any time really after November to December of 2017, depending upon how you play things, you most likely lost a significant portion of your investment. So with that being said, I think anybody who came in that time frame is probably not very interested in putting money back into crypto and buying cryptocurrency, again, specifically Bitcoin, from an investment standpoint. On the other end of the spectrum, you have institutional investors that are, we've heard the herd is coming. We've heard institutional investors are coming for the longest time. Are they actually coming? I think that there will be a point in time where cryptocurrency is more widely adopted as an asset class by institutional investors. I don't think that's happening in the next month. I think there are positive developments. Bakkt is one of them. I do think that it is something that is a net positive for the industry. Do I think that the launch of Bakkt in January of 2019 is all of a sudden going to double the price of Bitcoin? No, I don't think so. I don't think that is anywhere near the case. Do I think an ETF might be something that provides positive momentum? Yes, but do I think an ETF has any chance of getting approved before February of 2019? No. So, and even if that happens, it doesn't necessarily equate to an immediate bull run in the cryptocurrency market, and that's also before, that's also not before the, you know, before 2019. So that $15,000 price call, in my opinion, much as I'd love to see it, as great as it would be, I don't think there's a shot in hell that it's going to happen. And because of that, I mean, I still think at this point in time, as much as I love the crypto markets, I do think that we are going to tend to move lower. And I think for us, I'm looking at and thinking that the kind of medium-term bottom is probably going to be between $3,500 and $3,000, and I've been accumulating, I've been keeping cash, holding cash on the side, and ready to pull the trigger if we do go there. So that's been my outlook as far as things have been. I mean, within the past 24 hours, though, popping over to Nomics, things have been relatively stable, plus or minus about 1% overall in the cryptocurrency market cap, about $135 billion at this time, which is pretty crazy to think about because there were multiple times last year where I believe both Ethereum and Ripple were over $100 billion market caps, and now the entire market cap is at $135 billion, including Bitcoin, which still has about 55% dominance. But not all that much happening right now, just generally speaking, in the market as a whole. Some people are saying, hey, you know, this means that's the bottom. I think that's an absolutely ridiculous statement. I don't think we've found the bottom yet. And I do still think that there is a good degree of potential sell-offs to be had in the market, especially if we see the greater equities market continue to make a downward movement. I think there's been a lot of talk in the past that, you know, cryptocurrency is an alternative asset that will, you know, maybe provide some level of relief and an alternative to equities and to these other, you know, to these other assets in the stock market, and there'd be an inverse correlation essentially. If the equities market goes down, then you're going to see the price of Bitcoin go up. I tend to strongly disagree with that statement. I think that for the time being, Bitcoin and then to an even greater degree, the other cryptocurrencies or the other crypto assets are strongly correlated with the other asset classes, specifically equities, because if you are, especially in a sell-off, if I'm somebody, if I'm a regular Joe Schmo, or if I'm a larger, you know, industry player, but if I'm a regular Joe Schmo and I see my 401k or my savings or whatever it might be, if I have $500,000 or $1 million in my 401k and that goes down by $50,000, $100,000, I'm not going to like all of a sudden be looking and be like, I'm losing money in my retirement savings. So Where am I going to make that up? Oh, yes, it's going to be a highly speculative digital asset. I think that's exactly what's going to happen. I'm kidding. I think that there is a positive correlation between both cryptocurrency and just the greater global markets, specifically equities, that if we do see a continued sell-off in equities and in the global markets, and we see some type of extended downturn, I don't think that that's going to be necessarily a positive bet for, a positive indication for crypto in the long run. I don't think it's going to be a safe haven. I think it'll also fall under some similar downturns as well. Now, on the side of Overstock, so you're on Wall Street Journal. Overstock, this is something that came out on Friday, actually, so November 23rd, but Overstock.com, many of you, I'm sure, are familiar with Overstock. Number one, it's a big equity play that people in crypto love, and it is also something that has, Patrick Byrne, the CEO, has been a long-term advocate of cryptocurrency. I remember when I got into Bitcoin in December of 2013, one of the first CEOs I heard on a podcast was Patrick Byrne, and he was talking about how they built in Bitcoin support for Overstock.com's e-commerce business. If you're not familiar with Overstock.com, it's kind of a worse version of Amazon, let's be real. It's like a lighter weight version of Amazon, just not as successful, and Amazon basically kicks his butt. But when you have Patrick Byrne has been a long-term advocate of Bitcoin. Like I said, the story he told on his podcast was literally that he locked his software engineers in a room, slipped them pizza under the door, and said, hey, you have a weekend to, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but the story was like, hey, you have a weekend to build a Bitcoin payment processing into Overstock.com. They were one of the first real actual businesses. They were a publicly traded company at the time, still are, real actual businesses to start accepting Bitcoin, which is pretty cool. So I've always appreciated Patrick Byrne's foresight there. Now, since Overstock.com has continued to move into cryptocurrency, one of the things a lot of people might be familiar with is T0. Overstock has essentially a side venture called Medici Ventures, and they have been investing more and more and more into cryptocurrency. And interestingly enough, the stock price of Overstock, which is OSTK, the stock price of Overstock has been very much correlated to the cryptocurrency markets, especially in the last year. Overstock's stock price went up massively and is completely retraced back from what it was. But Overstock.com is essentially selling the retail portion of the business, which is the actual website that makes money, and they are going full-time into their betting the farm on one of their main projects is T0, which is supposed to be a security token exchange. They have been working on it for a number of years, I think 3 years at this point in time. It is not launched. It is not ready yet, but that is one of their big bets, and there are a number of other ones out there. As far as this being a potential big deal, I don't necessarily think it's I think some people are pointing to this as some massive win for cryptocurrency or something like that. It's not like Amazon, which is a multi-billion dollar company that is crushing it and saying, hey, we're going to ditch this e-commerce thing and we're going to go full-time in crypto. This is, while it's a publicly traded company, it's a much smaller company, and they have been very much involved in crypto for a long time, and I think they probably realize there's a much, much greater opportunity for their business in the crypto asset industry, specifically with T0 and for a number of these other solutions that they're trying to build at Medici Ventures. So is it a smart move? We'll have to see how it pans off, pans out in the long run, but it'll be fun to watch, and it'll also be interesting to see how they split things out. Because as of right now, Overstock.com, there hasn't been that many public plays where somebody could invest in something that was highly correlated to cryptocurrency within the public market. So whether it's been in the past, Nvidia or AMD were both big plays from GPU mining. Their stock prices went up a ton with the GPU mining heyday that has since fallen off a cliff. But Overstock, OSTK, was another one where you got essentially exposure to the cryptocurrency markets without actually having to own cryptocurrency, and you could buy that through whether it's your Fidelity account, E-Trade, whatever it might be, will be somewhat interesting to see how this pans out and what level of exposure you might get to, additional exposure you might get to Overstock and to the cryptocurrency markets in general without having to actually own cryptocurrency. So it should be a fun one to take a look at. And then lastly, looking at Bitcoin and the Bitcoin close to overtaking MasterCard in daily transfers. This is from Trust Nodes. Some nice bit of research here. But this is a few days old at this point in time, so it's likely been covered by a few different people. But overall, I think this is, it's kind of a good comparison in some respects, and it goes to show the fundamentals that I think, while I said before, you know, we're not going to see an influx of retail investors anytime soon that will pump up the price of Bitcoin or crypto. I don't think we're going to see an influx of institutional investors that will pump up the price of Bitcoin or crypto. But the fundamentals of the Bitcoin network, the fundamentals of a number of these other crypto assets, in my opinion, still do remain strong. And specifically Bitcoin, I'm really excited about in the long run as far as what it represents and also the dollar value it's at now in comparison to what we've seen before and the opportunity, the opportunities presented here. So I would definitely recommend taking a look at this article from Trust Nodes, just specifically looking at really how MasterCard has processed $4.4 trillion year to date, while Bitcoin is about $3 trillion on a yearly basis. If we're looking at extrapolating the daily $8 billion level, that is somewhat common for Bitcoin. And when you think about where Bitcoin is at right now from a market cap perspective, where MasterCard is at, you have Bitcoin at a $77 billion market cap. You have MasterCard at $170 billion market cap. Granted, MasterCard actually makes revenue. Bitcoin does not. It is not designed to do that. But when you extrapolate all the other crypto assets into essentially fitting into the bill of what MasterCard's market cap is, and when you think about that at a high level, it's somewhat of an interesting comparison. Visa still dwarfs Bitcoin in terms of the number of transactions and the volume that it handles on an annual and a daily basis. Visa handles about $30 billion a day in comparison to Bitcoin's occasional $8 billion a day. So Visa is still very much up there in terms of the size, or in terms of the amount that it handles on a day-to-day basis. The one thing that Bitcoin and many of these other cryptocurrencies need to figure out is the on-chain scalability. Bitcoin handling 7 transactions a second, which is significantly less than the 65,000 transactions a second that something like Visa can hold. But also, you're looking at the scalability trade-off or centralization trade-off in many respects. So what am I thinking about at this point in time? I'm really just waiting to see how the market is shaking out. Not rushing into anything, not trying to go too crazy right now. I have been consolidating into Bitcoin and into cash for the past few weeks and have been fairly happy about that, and really trying to eye down some decent opportunities if we see additional panic selling to buy some crazy wicks and to see if we can make some money in the long run. But outside of that, hope you guys enjoyed this episode. If you enjoy this, definitely hit that thumbs up button, hit the like button, and if you're new to the channel by any chance, subscribe. Would love to see you around. Thank you so much for your time. Crypto Bobby signing out. Peace.